I just want to begin this morning by saying that my hope is not in Wall Street, not in Washington, D.C., but in God. Amen? If there's ever been a time we need the power of God and His divine intervention, it's today. I'm afraid too many churches are content with where they are. And just to be honest with you, there are many churches that are dying in our denomination today. And they're just hanging on by a thread. And I just believe that if something miraculous doesn't take place in 10, 15, or 20 years, we'll be seeing, if the Lord tarries, we'll be seeing a lot of doors closed. I'm preaching this morning from my heart. I am not about to be content with anything that resembles death. When the Bible says that God is in the business of bringing life. Amen? Where God is life. And in our scripture this morning, I want you to see how the breath of God transformed a graveyard full of dry bones into the Bible says, a dynamic army of marching men. And in Ezekiel chapter 37, this revival happened in a graveyard. In a graveyard. And I want to say this morning, if it happened in a graveyard, it can take place anywhere. Amen? Let's read together what the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round and about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and when I was prophesying, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the winds. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the winds, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his word. As we come for a few moments this morning, I want to talk to you on this subject, the need for every church. The need for every church. As I studied and I read this, I saw several things that jumped out at me. And the first one was this. I noticed that this was a directed place. It was a directed place. The Bible says that the prophet Ezekiel was transported by the Lord to this valley, this ancient valley, and it was a valley of death. Now get this now, God directed him there. It was a direct divine appointment by Almighty God. So I couldn't help but think of this. Ezekiel's first church was a place of dry, dead bones. Notice verse 1 with me again. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me, that's Ezekiel, out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. This was Ezekiel's church. This is where God wanted Ezekiel to be, a place of death, a place of dry bones. And I want you to know I've preached in a few places like that. And I'm sure that this is not what preacher Ezekiel wanted. I'm sure he didn't lay in bed at night and say, well, I hope I get to preach at an old, dry, dead church full of bones. But this is where God directed his path. Can I tell you something this morning? Can I tell you something? Being in the will of God might not be where you would like to be. I thought about this while I was preparing this. Y'all know I went to Fruitland and went part-time, so it took me 4 years to get a 2-year degree. And Fruitland's up there in the western part of North Carolina. And I figured that since I went to Fruitland, that God would place me in a church somewhere in the western North Carolina mountains. A lot of boys that went to Fruitland got churches up there. And I figured that's what was going to happen to me. I just figured I'd preach at one of them mountain country churches. So I figured that I'd try to help God out a little bit. So when I had free time, I'd ride around up there in those mountains looking for me a church. And guess what I did? I found one. And the name of the church, Sharon, you remember this, was East Fork Baptist Church. Some of you might know where that is. It's in Rosman, little country church, East Fork Baptist Church. And I loved it. I just fell in love with it. I rode by it one day and I said, that's where God's going to put me. It was a little country church. And guess what? It had a trout stream right beside it. And I just knew that was going to be the church for me. I prayed, God, give me this church. I know you want me to have this church. I'll be honest. I said, Lord, it's just what I want. It's a country church. It's got a trout stream running right beside it. It's perfect. It's perfect. Guess what? Lord had different plans. He didn't want me at East Fork Baptist Church up there in Rosman. He called me to Freedom Fellowship Baptist Church in Piedmont in a storefront building. My first Sunday, there were 19 people there, and half of them was my family. But I'll tell you, we had a great ministry. We grew. We bought a church out on Ray Road in Moonville, and I had 4 good years at that church. I saw people saved, and I saw people surrender to the ministry. One of my deacons is now the pastor of that church, and as far as I know, the church is moving on forward. But I said all that to say this: God's plans might not always be like you planned it out to be. And you know what? As I studied this, actually, the Lord never promised Ezekiel a life with comfort and ease. In fact, I want you to notice what God said to Ezekiel. If you'll just flip over to Ezekiel chapter 2, let me read to you what the Lord planned for Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter number 2, verses 3, notice what the Bible says. Ezekiel 2, verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that had rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. And I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. So, see, God didn't promise Ezekiel a rose garden, did he? Actually, sometimes when a preacher starts a new church, not everybody is so excited. Not everybody's happy. And I understand that, I really do. I try my best to please everyone, but listen to my heart. My main goal is to please God. My main goal is to please God, to do what God wants me to do. And Ezekiel was called to this dry, dead church, literally. And I think I might be wrong, but I would rather preach in a place where there's resistance than a place where there's death. I might be wrong, but I think I'd rather preach to a congregation full of atheists than a valley of dry, dead bones. But this is where Ezekiel was directed to preach. Isn't that something? I read about this preacher that used to go to church on Saturday nights, and he would turn on, that was in the old days when they had a pulpit light, he would turn on that pulpit light and he would practice preaching. I've done that. I hadn't done it here, but he would go on Saturday nights and he would preach and he would practice. And one night, three young teenagers knew his routine, and they were the deacon's kids, and they decided that they were going to spook the preacher. They knew what he did on Saturday nights, and they arrived at church early that Saturday night, and the preacher was up there just preaching his heart out to an empty congregation, he thought. And about halfway through, those three little deacon kids raised up and said, "Amen, preacher, preach it." And that ended his routine of preaching on Saturday nights. But sometimes you have a church meeting where they're just empty pews, and sometimes you'll go to places where the people that are sitting in the pews are empty. I believe the Bible teaches just preach the word, because the word won't come back void. Amen. Poor old Ezekiel. He was called to preach in a boneyard, and it was a directed place, and he was faithful. But not only was it a directed place, but I noticed something else in verse 2. It was a dry place. Notice what the Bible says in verse 2. "And caused me to pass by them round about." He walked round and around and around. And behold, there were many, the Bible says, in that valley. And lo, they were dry. So Ezekiel actually surveyed the situation. And he saw that they were all dry. He walked around, the Bible says, and they were many, the Bible says, in that valley, and they were dry. It was a dry place. The valley didn't contain skeletons, but it was just a mass of bones so thick that the land was just covered in white with death. It was a place of dry bones, picked clean, if you will, by the birds and scattered about, and there was hopelessness, and it was a place of death. And this is where Ezekiel was directed to go. And I couldn't help but think about some of the characteristics of death. A dead person has no purpose. Think about a purpose of a dead man. He doesn't have any goals. He didn't have any dreams, no ambition. But I'm here to tell you, people with life ought to have goals. Amen. People with life ought to have dreams and hopes and should have a joy and a purpose and an excitement for living. I read about a man that was 65 years old. This is a true story. And he looked back over his life and saw only failure. He'd spent much of his life just working in a restaurant, washing dishes, and now he was 65 years old and he was retired, and he drew his first Social Security check, and it was $105. And he was depressed, and he even contemplated suicide. And instead of taking his life, he reviewed his life and he decided that he could do better. He decided he wanted to become a cook. So he went to the bank and he borrowed $100 on his next Social Security check. And he went to the supermarket and he bought some chicken and he fried it the best that he knew how. And he began going door to door selling chickens. And you know who this man was? Colonel Sanders. And you probably eat Kentucky Fried Chicken today. He started when he was 65 years old. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're alive, you should have goals and dreams and hope and joy and purpose and excitement about living. But you see, Colonel Sanders had something that a deceased person doesn't have. He had purpose. He had a goal. He had an objective. And we need to remember that the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, people perish. Keep a vision. Keep a goal. A dead man has no purpose. A dead person has no passion. There's no fire, no zeal, no appetite for the things of God. No emotions, no heart, no laughter. Would to God that we would have the passion like Jeremiah had that said, but his word was in my heart as a fire burning in my bones. Would to God if we would have the passion of Peter and John who said, but we cannot but speak of the things that God has done for me. Or Paul who said, that I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Another trait of death is no productivity. Churches that are alive are productive, aren't they? They love, they live, they laugh together, they give together, they work together. They're excited when people get saved and get baptized, but death is marked by stagnation and barrenness, and this was the type of place that Ezekiel was called to preach. The Bible tells us that the church of Sardis was dead. The altars were empty. The baptismal pool was full of boxes and cobwebs. And they didn't have the Spirit of the Lord with them. One preacher was asked one time about the health of his church. This is what he said. He said, well, obviously the folks in my church don't love each other because I hadn't performed a wedding in over 10 years. He said, they don't love God because no one ever comes to the altar to make a decision for Christ. No one ever comes to the altar to pray for lost people. And then he went on to say this, and sometimes I wonder if God even loves them because he hadn't seen fit to call any of them home in 10 years that I've been their pastor. The valley of dry bones that Ezekiel was at was a picture of death. And to test Ezekiel's faith, he asked the Lord, Son of man, the Lord asked him, Son of man, can these bones live? And in response to the Lord's question, Ezekiel answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest. You know what he was saying? God, with men, this is impossible, but with you, all things are possible. Can I tell you, never give up on somebody, because with men, it might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I couldn't help but notice, not only was it a directed place and a dry place, but it was a divine place. Oh, listen, I love what the Bible says there. In verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones. Notice, hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Can you imagine the first reaction of Ezekiel? You mean you want me to preach? I've been to seminary. I've done this, and you want me to preach to all of these dry bones? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say to these bones? Dearly beloved, we're gathered here in the presence of God to join together the ankle bone to the leg bone and then the leg bone to... What was he supposed to do? You know what he was supposed to do? Preach the word of God. The word of God. Can I tell you something? You talk about faith. Ezekiel had it. I think about some of the people in the Bible with faith like that. Noah had that faith, never saw it rain, yet he built an ark. Abraham had a faith like that. God called him to travel to a land of promise and took faith. Moses showed great faith when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures in Egypt. Young David showed that faith when he stood up against that giant with a sling and a few stones and the power of God behind him. Ezekiel was standing there, and listen, church, it was a valley of death, but he had a faith. He believed in the word of God. I wonder, do you believe in the word of God? He believed that the word of God would not return back void. He believed the word of God to be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what did he do? He preached the word. Somebody said, can men be saved today and revived today? And can they be saved today by the preaching of the word? And I want to say yes. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I'm here to tell you this morning, when a man of God stands in the power of God, in the house of God, and preach the word of God, many, many, many miraculous things become wonderful possibilities because God blesses the preaching of the word of God. And then last of all, and I'll quit, it was a definite promise. Look what the Bible says in verse 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter unto you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I'm the Lord. I love verse 7. I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want to tell you something as I close. The church can't resuscitate herself. We can agonize and organize and emphasize and publicize. We can do all we can do, but we cannot produce a genuine revival. If revival comes, Almighty God will have to show up. The church can't do it by herself. And listen as I close. The God who breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, and the Lord Jesus who breathed upon the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, is the same God who can breathe upon a boneyard and transform it into a mighty, marching, motivated army of believers. And that same God can breathe life into you and into me. And I noticed this in verse 7. Man, this got me. As I was studying this, verse 7, I'll read it one more time. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise. I like to look up words. You know what that word noise means in the original text? It means some type of sound. And one of the commentaries that I read said that it meant praise. Think about that. There was a noise, there was praise. And behold, there was a shaking. I looked that word up, shaking. You know what it means? A movement of God. There was praise, and then there was shaking, and then there was a miracle. The bones became to come together. Man, when I read that, God really just spoke to my heart. First thing was a noise. And then there was a shaking, and then the Bible says the bones begin to come together. I thought about this. Could it be that my prayers and your prayers might not be answered because you're waiting on God to answer before you praise Him? Boy, God just showed me that. Could it be that my prayers and your prayers are not being answered because you're waiting on the answer before you give God praise? And in the text today, there was praising first. First there was noise, that was praise. And then God began to do something, and then there was a miracle. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was 17 years old and my daddy passed away. He was 55 years old, I was 17 years old, and it broke my heart. He was my hero, he was my friend, I was his shadow. Everywhere he went, I went. And for many, many, many years, I was upset with God. For many years, I stayed out of church, and I wasn't mad at God, but I would always say, God, how could you allow such to happen? My daddy wasn't but 55 years old. I wasn't but 17. He was so young. I was so young. And to be honest, I couldn't praise. I didn't have any praise in me. I had lost my joy. I couldn't praise Him. It wasn't in me. And then one day, I was reading in the Bible, and I run across 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, where the Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then I noticed something as I read that. The Bible says, in all things, not because it happened, not at all things, not because something terrible happened, but the Bible says, in all things. I still hate that it happened. My daddy could still be alive today. He'd be up in his 90s, but he could still be alive today. But you know what? When I read that verse, I said, you know what? Now I can praise Him, and I do. I say my prayers every night, and I say, God, thank you for a mama and a daddy. Thank you for the 17 years that you gave me my daddy. Thank you, Lord, for the things that I learned from my daddy. Thank you for a wonderful family, and thank you for all the memories that I have of my daddy. You see, sometimes, folks, we just got to praise Him in the storm. You praise Him in the storm. They praised first, and then there was a shaking, and then a miracle took place. You know what the greatest need? I started off by saying the greatest need of every church. You know what the greatest need of every church is? Jesus. Eternal life. That's what these guys had, was eternal life. The greatest need for every church is Jesus. To have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ like Ezekiel did, and to be in the will of God, and to worship Him through praise. Some of you in here today might need to praise Him. Your prayers might not be answered yet, but you need to praise Him anyway for who He is, because He's God. He's God. Every head bowed and eye closed. The invitation is very simple this morning. If you're in here today, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, I invite you to come today and ask Him to be Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today and you've walked away from God, and God's challenging you to come back to Him. you can do that today. Maybe you just want to come get on this altar and praise him. Or praise him right where you're sitting today. I just pray that we would do business with Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, I pray that if someone in here needs to make a decision today, that you would give them the boldness, Lord, to do it. Maybe there's someone that needs to come and join. God, would you just speak to their hearts? If there's anyone in here today that's lost, Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart and let them see the need for you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let's stand together.